I have two older brothers, and I was their wrestling buddy before these things came out. Half Nelsons, full Nelsons, Willie Nelsons. Them shit was hurting. Yesterday, you were early. Last night, on time. Right now, you late. Welcome to You Late with Jazz and the Kites. Ready to give the rundown of last night and what's coming up. You Late is presented by Buzzr, the hottest new app for watching the best moments in live sports. Download Buzzr in the App Store or wherever you get your apps, and never miss a moment with Buzzr. I'm running on like 2 hours sleep, so good luck, Nikias. How you doing?
Hey, we don't get the it's Wednesday. We don't get none of that. It's just, hey, I'm sleepy. Let's get this over with. All right.
Let's kick this pig, okay?
That's the a lot of pig kicking happening on this podcast. I am doing well. Thanks for asking. I guess we have an idea of how you're doing this morning.
Very tired, but I'm pushing through. Had a pre-workout that's helping. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I have to go by natural supplements.
I see. Well, hopefully that kicks in for you. I hope you're able to find the energy that you need to get through this hump day.
Yeah. Are you a coffee drinker? You're not.
No, I'm not a coffee drinker.
I knew that about you. You don't seem like, you know, coffee is cool, right? I guess. It just tastes funny, and it's so hipstery. Like, the hipsters have taken over coffee. The cool thing is to not drink coffee.
This take does not surprise me for some reason. Coffee is a hipster thing now. All right. Well, speaking of coffee, how about Jimmy Butler dominating the Philadelphia Sixers?
Nice. Oh, man. If I had the money, I would give you a raise. That was great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wonderful segue.
Learning from my goat, you know. But a big win for the Miami Heat. Their shooters remembered how to shoot. A lackluster performance from Joel Embiid and also James Harden.
Who? James Harden or Brick Ross?
Oh, come on. Come on. Have some
shame.
I'm
just saying. I'm trying to understand who you're talking about. Because that was not no James Harden out there.
This is shameful content. You
could have switched him and DJ Khaled and nobody would have knew the difference.
The slander's getting worse. I don't care. What did James Harden do to you?
Nothing. It's like it was missed after miss. Another one. My God. Come on.
This is incredible content. Like you have a personal vendetta against this. Speaking of DJ Khaled, how about the mid-game massage?
That was weird. Twitter did not go in on him hard enough, because anytime Drake do anything on the sideline, it's like, oh, look at Drake. The hate is real. But y'all just be letting DJ Khaled slide.
Do we care about DJ Khaled?
Okay, touche.
I feel like it's a little bit. If you want to say that Drake should be held to the same standards as DJ Khaled, we can do that. I just don't know if that's the case you want to.
You got me. You're going, okay. You win. You won this round.
I'm just saying. All right, 3-2 series. I'm guessing you think this is over with, or do you think the Sixers can notch it up in game six?
I could see a game seven happening. I still have the Heat winning.
Okay.
I would love a game seven. I love when the stakes are high.
I too love a good steak. As for the other game, how about Devin Booker? Are you here for a Devin Booker, Luka Doncic rivalry? I didn't think those two had beef, but it doesn't look like they like each other that much.
It's because they, I don't know. It's because they both look so nice. It's hard to imagine them like having legit beef, but I'm always here for a little beef.
It's, you know, Devin Booker getting fouled, kind of laying on the floor for a little bit, calls it the Luka special because he was milking it. I was like, yo, wait.
He was looking like Eddie Guerrero out there, like selling it a little bit too much.
Wow. An Eddie Guerrero reference on the pod. Bravo.
You know, I got a little bit of a wrestling background.
All right. Favorite wrestler? Let's hear it.
Oh, it's The Rock. Okay. And then Buff Bagwell. But then a very close third. I loved Goldberg and Steve Austin. But I think what I loved about Steve Austin is that he was so commanding. Like, you hear the psh, and then everybody just goes crazy, and then he comes in, gives somebody like the stunner, stands on the turnbuckle, all of a sudden just these random cans of beer just go into him, and he's catching them, you know, knocking them together, throwing them back, and just like, yeah. I used to love that.
Wow, that was beautiful. That was a really good tribute. the entrance music and everything, that you really set the scene for everyone. That was, you're having a good week, I must say. This is some good stuff. If this is you on 2 hours of sleep, the world is not prepared for a fully rested Jasmine. Let me tell you, this is good stuff. Wow. Can we get the glass breaking one more time before we move forward? Oh man.
Yes. I feel like Jared should put that in now. Like, try to make some kind of glass breaking sound, because that thing was iconic. And the only thing about Goldberg is that he never, like, he would come in, I can't even remember his music, but he was like standard, like black Speedo, black boots. He would come in, give you that, I forgot what it's called, but he would raise you in the air, hold you there for like 5 minutes. And then when you lose consciousness, bam, right there on the map. And then that was it. He could not lose for like a long time. Okay. My wrestling spiel is way over.
I love how your energy went from like a 4.5 in the intro. Now we're at like 12. We just needed some glass to break.
That's what wrestling does to you. Like, don't you remember those wrestling buddies?
I do.
I was so happy when those came out, because I have two older brothers and I was their wrestling buddy before these things came out. Half Nelsons, full Nelsons, Willie Nelsons. Them shit was hurting.
Willie Nelsons. Wait a minute.
It ain't easy. Shout out to the women out there who grew up with only brothers, because the shit is not for the faint of heart. Okay.
They had you selling the jackhammer. I can't do this.
And I had to legit like tap out. Otherwise, they would keep going. Okay.
Oh God! Shout out to the Suns for winning Game 5.
Yeah.
We went places. Devin Booker shooty hoops. Mikal Bridges made shots. Chris Paul double digit assist. Still didn't score much. Didn't matter. Wow. Yeah. Did it have you in the ankle lock? Like, now I need the whole breakdown of what the wrestling matches were like.
Yes, they were practicing all kinds of things. I've gotten hit with like people's elbow. What's that move Bret Hart used to do?
Sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter. Yep, got that too. I used to get so many stunners. That's how I remember. And I don't know. It was a very crazy time.
I see.
Yeah, they would hop off the couch and pretend that was a turnbuckle. God,
I feel like memories are just being opened, right?
I'm telling you. It just, because we had a basement, so I feel like they have free reign. And so many times I was just trying to run up out of there and I had to tap out to just make it out. It was, and then they would try to make cage matches. I'm like, who raised you monsters? So luckily I came out so wonderful and gentle.
On today's Late Slip episode, we talked to FS1's Nick Wright. We got into the Nikola Jokic MVP case. We talked about superstars and who deserves that title. And Nick offered some advice for Jasmine and her gambling addiction. We hope you enjoy our conversation.
Welcome to Late Slip, where we talk to our favorite people in sports media. Today, we're talking to Nick Wright, host of First Things First and the What's Right podcast. And he's here with his amazing hair.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. You know, people used to think this was fake Jasmine. Hi, nice to meet you, Jasmine. I've never actually spoken with Jasmine where I can see her face. I did, however, try to hire her for a company I didn't even end up going to work for. That would have been weird. Nikias, nice to meet you as well. Nikias is your favorite NBA's writer's favorite writer. So it's Facts. Nice to finally meet you. You guys are wonderful, wonderful background. You guys also work with the man who used to run the radio show I used to for SiriusXM, Mr. Jared Moore. He does this as a hobby. He's obviously a professional video game collector. However, he does this out of a passion project. But it's good to talk to you both. Yeah, of course I really know Jared. I drove to his house during the pandemic to buy a PlayStation once. He had 0% markup. That's what type of man Jared Moore is. Wow. 0% markup at the height of PS5 extravaganza. That's a true story. Hi, guys.
Jared, what were you thinking? Wow, I would have upcharged you.
No, he's a good friend. Okay, he's a good friend.
One, Dick, great to have you on. Great to meet you. Two, how did you hop on the podcast as a guest and give a better intro than either of us have given?
Oh, no. Listen, you guys, here's the thing. When you're, Nikias, you're like a brilliant basketball mind. Jasmine is naturally, inherently funny. When you have neither of those natural skills, what you're really just doing a am I allowed to curse on here or not?
Give me thumbs up, thumbs down. It's
what I'm really just doing is a fucking shell game. Like it's like, oh, bells, whistles, like, oh, look at this, look at that. And then you think it's like great broadcasting. But I'm you know what I mean? I'm just juggling chainsaws. That's all I'm doing here.
You're like people's favorite tweeter. Well, maybe people's favorite tweeter, favorite tweeter.
No, I'm the least favorite. Everybody hates me. Can we, you know, let's talk about me. Let's do that. Why does everyone hate me? I'm a nice guy. I'm also right about almost everything that people say I'm wrong about. Oh, Nick, you're scared of Kawhi. That's why you don't believe in the Clippers. No, I don't believe in the Clippers because they were frauds. Oh, Nick, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving talk trash to you. That's why you don't believe in the Nets. No, I don't believe in the Nets because they're frauds. Oh, Nick, when are you going to give Nikola Jokic his respect? Well, I don't know. Seems like he's, you know, not nearly as good as the players we all know are better than him, but we keep giving him the biggest award in sports. And I just keep being proven right. And then people are like, you're an asshole. I'm not an asshole. I'm just right and confident. There's a difference.
There is a difference. I don't think you're an asshole. I just think you are wrong.
About what? What am I wrong about, Jasmine? This is the first fracture in our new relationship.
I'm telling you, I thought we were building here. Jokic, you didn't have him MVP?
How could you have? No. The guys, can we? Hold on. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. We all agree that we can say, like, league MVP, it's a regular season only award. All that matters, it's a snapshot of time. But we all, people say that, but they all know that that's a lie, right? It's never been that. It's never, ever been that. There has always been context of it. It's why in the last 55 years, only one person ever has won it 3 years in a row. It's not because Jordan didn't deserve it 3 years in a row or LeBron didn't deserve it 3 years in a row. It's because it's like, I had someone else's turn. And it's also why since writers have been voting the last 41 years prior to Jokic, only one guy ever had won it that wasn't a top four seed, Russ, in 2017. Because we were like, oh, my God, a triple-double. That'll never happen again. And then happened 3 more years, and we were like, yeah, that shit's whack. We actually don't care, and we won't vote him MVP. And the Jokic thing, here's what's happened with the Jokic is an unbelievable player. Last year I said he would have been second to Chris Paul. People were like, Nick, you're trolling. And then he played in the playoffs, and Chris Paul seemed more valuable, but what do I know? And this year I said – I think Luka and Embiid are all better. And here's what's happened in the MVP voting for some, not for you, Jasmine, but for some. They have acted like it's not that it is that the advanced analytics are flawless. And if you don't acknowledge them, you're a caveman. When the advanced analytics tell me Jokic is a better defender than Giannis or Embiid, does anybody actually believe that? Like, do people believe that? Or like, oh, maybe the algorithm's flawed. And they're like, hey, just so you guys know, Nick Wright, I get this tweet all the time. Nikola Jokic just had the greatest offensive season ever. Does anyone actually believe that? Do people think we just witnessed the greatest offensive season ever? Or is it possible? Is it just possible the algorithms really reward a couple things he's great at? High efficiency. So a guy who's not out on the perimeter and never has to take shot clock desperation shots is going to reward him. They also treat all rebounds equally. And some rebounds are really valuable. Some rebounds are not that valuable because they're uncontested. And so is it like odd that it's like, wait a minute, are these the same analytics that for a period of time said Hassan Whiteside was a top 15 player? Maybe they're flawed. Maybe they reward high efficiency big men. And so, yeah, no, I don't think it was the MVP. That's the short version of it. And I think him, last point on this, and then I'm not talking about this anymore after this because I keep saying I'm not going to talk about it and I do 9-minute answers. In the history of professional basketball, prior to Jokic winning this one, your back-to-back MVPs are, in order, Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Moses Malone, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Tim Duncan, Steve Nash, remember that name, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Giannis. So that's 12 of the greatest, well, 11 of the greatest players ever, plus Steve Nash. When all the two-time MVPs get together, you think Jokic hangs out with the 11 guys or him and Nash are over in a corner? Like, yeah, I don't know how I got in here either. People must have lost their minds briefly. Seems kind of nuts. That's all I'm saying. That's all. I think Nikias thinks I'm full of it. That's my stance on this.
I'm pretty sure he does. Also, Steve Nash didn't deserve one of those, maybe even both of those, but he definitely didn't deserve one.
And they almost gave him a third, Jasmine. He came in second the third year. The guys, you think he was, Jokic was the MVP?
I do think he was the MVP, yes.
Tell me why.
I think Jokic was the MVP. Like, one, I guess I get kind of rolled the wrong way with the analytic argument because I don't think that's, at least the way I look at it, I don't think that's the baseline for his case. When I watch Jokic, I'm looking at what he does offensively first and foremost, what he does as a post hub, what he does as a playmaker, what he does as a rebounder, the value that he does provide defensively. He does have his limitations, and I know that's part of the reason why you don't view him as highly. But what he's able to do in terms of his positioning, in terms of the quick hands, he is an anchor of Denver's aggressive defensive scheme, which they have to run in part due to his limitations, but also because of the lack of point of attack defenders that they have. Ooh. And so I feel like there is value on both ends there. If you look at his basic numbers, 27, 14, and 8, if we want to stop it there with, 58%?
Let me ask this. What's the argument that Jokic was more valuable this year than Luka? Forget Giannis, because everyone knows Giannis is better than him. Like, you don't think Jokic is better than Giannis, right? Those are separate discussions.
Correct.
Or do you?
No.
Okay, so you don't give the MVP to the best player every year. Jordan didn't win 10 straight. I understand that. So take that. I think Giannis had a really good case. What is the argument that Jokic was more valuable this year than Luka Doncic? I want to know it.
I would say, if we want to go statistics, I mean, better numbers across the board, both basic and advanced. But I think he just in terms
more points and more assists. So not better numbers across the board. Jokic averaged more rebounds, but sure, but go ahead.
Popcorn.
No, scored more efficiently, less turnovers for Jokic. So if you were to go that route.
Sure.
But I would just say one. I mean, that's kind of what the basics. I think he was a better defender than Luka was.
Better defender than Luka. I agree with you there.
Better defender than Luka. I think he was a better, more efficient offensive player as well.
Ooh, a better, more, okay. I don't even know if you guys wanted to really talk MVP stuff, so I apologize. I think that one thing to have a one-off MVP, I think that if we are going to enter the ranks of guys who have multiple of these things, much less back-to-back of these things, here's what bothered me the most about the Jokic MVP case. And this was because Nash won those back-to-back MVPs, and they didn't win the title, and they didn't make the finals. But people thought they could. People were like, the Suns won 63 games one year, I think 56 the next. People thought they could win the title. What was baffling to me about Nikola Jokic, who is going to run away with his second straight MVP, is some of his most ardent supporters would say, yes, I voted Jokic MVP. Oh, man. Yeah, the Nuggets have no chance to win in round one. What? And people were like, oh, Nick, it's outrageous. It's unfair. They're not playing an all-time great team. They're playing a good Warriors team. In my opinion, in my life watching basketball, if you have a guy who is of the caliber of back-to-back MVP, you should be terrifying to your opponents in every series. And the Warriors were experimenting with lineups against the Nuggets. They were so unafraid. And I think that it's just hard for me. I watch the playoffs, and I'm like, okay, like, do I think there's seven guys in the league that are scarier to an opponent come a playoff series? I do. So it's a hard sell for me that he's one of the greatest players in the history of the game. But as a back-to-back MVP, you're either one of the greatest players in the history of the game or you're Steve Nash. And now he's in one of those two groupings. For me, that's where he's at.
Holy shit.
Are you all right?
I wasn't expecting, I knew about the Jokic part with Nick, but I didn't know about like the Steve Nash, and I definitely didn't know about the Luka thing. So I didn't know.
I think Luka's the second best player in the league. I think Giannis won, Luka too. I also think that's going to be the finals this year. And I've said that for 2 months. You guys, we can talk about this. This might, I don't know when this is going up. The Suns might win game 5 by 100 points, and I'll look like a total asshole. People will love that. I think Luka's second best player in the league. I said in February that this 22-23-year-old Luka Doncic is going to be 2007-22-year-old LeBron James, carries this motley crew all the way to the NBA Finals and then gets beaten. That's what I think is going to happen. I don't know. I don't know how you can control a game on the offensive end more than Luka does. I just don't. I think he is as far as an offensive player in today's NBA, as close to perfect as you can get.
Speaking of LeBron James, since you just brought him up.
Oh, yeah.
What do you have in store, like, in your mind for this Lakers offseason? It's hard to gauge if you are just, like, a LeBron lover, which I know you are, or if you actually like the Lakers, which maybe you don't.
No, I don't really care about the Lakers. I mean, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. So I'm an NBA free agent by birth, right? I was born in 1984. The Kings left where I was born. So I'm allowed to be to go from team to team. I don't have
a
home. What do you mean no?
You don't have any loyalty to one team at any point. You never said, I love this team. I'm
a little kid. As a little kid, I was a Knicks fan because first NBA game I ever went to was a Knicks game when I was like 8 years old. And so I was like, I'll be a Knicks fan. Okay. But, and so I rooted for the first time sports ever made me cry was Ewing's missed finger roll. Hated Reggie Miller. The PJ Brown should have been arrested for body slamming Charlie Ward when the Knicks were up 3-1. Like, those are my young sports memories. I had a Latrell Sprewell collage on my wall.
Oh, God.
So I was a Knicks fan growing up. However, the only sport I played at, and I didn't play any sports past high school. I'm not doing the Al Bundy back in my day thing. But the only sport that I even in high school played at a semi decent level was basketball. Mm-hmm. And I'm high school class of 03. So my basketball team would have always get together at my house, like to watch games and whatever it was. Same, our senior year was LeBron's senior year at St. Vincent St. Mary's. And we, as a team, watched all of their games. They had like 7 games on ESPN. We watched them all. And I was like, okay, well, this is – the Knicks have been trashed now for a few years. He's my age. I think he's going to be the greatest player ever. This is my guy. And so from my high school graduation, LeBron's high school graduation, I've just ridden with him. So, yeah, the Lakers never might – yeah, I'll be a Lakers fan for another – 11 months till he leaves mercifully?
Whoa.
Such a terribly run franchise. What a joke of a franchise it's turned into, Jasmine.
Nick.
Did you see the LA Times article? They run it like a local hardware store. Like Jeannie Buss looks around the room and she's like, hey, if I got married, who would be, you know, speak at the wedding? You want a front office job? It's embarrassing. Give me a break.
Nick, I'm going to have to ask you to respectfully, like, calm the fuck down, okay?
Wow, every
franchise goes through a hard period of time.
It's been 10 years. It's been 10 years. LeBron saved him for 1 year, and the fans still hate him. Half of the Laker fans talk shit on the guy. Yeah, go ahead.
It's because of people like you. Like, LeBron is the best. He's carrying your whole team. We Laker fans, we are like team first. It's a family. Like Vin Diesel be saying, it's all about family.
No, you're not. That's not true. You Laker fans, that is so not true. You guys had a damn Game of Thrones thing, Shaq versus Kobe. That wasn't everybody picked a side. That wasn't team first. You guys absolutely endorsed sacrificing what should have been a rebuilding period in service of tribute to the late great Kobe Bryant, which was, by the way, a totally fine decision. That wasn't team first. And some of y'all got pissed when you acquired LeBron James out of loyalty to Kobe Bryant. That was not team first. Don't give me this. You guys are about stars. And LeBron delivers you a championship and Anthony Davis and the team wants to wind out the luxury tax and then have the audacity to put out in the media, oh, LeBron made us do it. Oh, we didn't want Russ, but LeBron made us do it. LeBron didn't have the juice to get Ty Lue hired, but he had the juice to get you to trade for Russell Westbrook. LeBron didn't have the juice to have you pay an extra $8 million in luxury tax to bring back Alex Caruso, but he had the juice to make you trade for Russell Westbrook. And then they have the nerve to be like, and who does Rich Paul think he is? Does he think we're the type of franchise that the agent of our best player gets to have a say in things? Hold on one second. That's Rob Blink on the phone, who was the agent of our best player and now runs the team.
Fight back, Jasmine.
Give me a break.
First of all, do not bring up Alex Caruso. It is still a sore subject. Second of all, mm-hmm. it's just a rough time. We've been through worse. you remember the Smush Parker years, or maybe you don't because you was wherever LeBron was at that time.
No, that was when Kobe was demanding a trade, right? But we pretended it didn't
calm
happen.
Calm down.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was sorry.
He was open to a trade. He was open.
Andrew Bynum, he got caught on video back before people had camera phones. You had to have a camcorder on your shoulder.
No.
And he somehow got caught on video in a parking lot for trash talking Andrew Bynum and then going on Stephen A. Smith's radio show demanding a trade to the Clippers. God.
That was like the heyday of YouTube.
Yeah.
The grainy film, 240p.
So, but to answer your question, yeah, so I'm the, and when, and I, when LeBron retires, I'll just be a, you know, my favorite team will be who Luka plays for.
Wow.
Yeah, life of an NBA free agent.
I definitely see why, and I'm sorry this happens to you, I definitely see why, like, Kevin Durant comes at you on Twitter and maybe other NBA players now. I can see it.
Nikias, did she just call me an asshole?
No.
Is that what just happened? Jasmine, like, I get it. I didn't think you were a jerk when you were cold calling me out of the blue. Like, you're funny on Twitter. I think my company should hire you. But now that I'm actually having to speak with you, I think you're kind of a jackass.
No, actually, Joy Taylor says amazing things about you. So that's why I was like, oh, maybe he is great.
These are a lot of names.
Although she says better things. She says better things about your wife.
About my wife, of course. Yeah, that's unbelievable. Joy Taylor used to be my friend, and now she's my wife's friend and acknowledges me. This has happened to me multiple times. One of my best female friends from college, who happens to be a female, I should say, met my wife 8 years ago. Now, like, when she comes to town, I find out through my wife. She had a baby. I found out through my wife. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, I'm meeting up with Tamara. I'm like, Tamara's here? She's like, oh, yeah. We've been talking about it for weeks. I'm like, you stole my friend? Same thing with Joy Taylor. Joy came to New York with Alex Curry. No, not MJ. MJ wasn't there. It was with Alex Curry. And they made reservations for dinner for three, for my wife, her, and Alex. Right fucking here, guys.
Mate, were you busy?
Yeah, but they didn't know that.
It's the principle.
I had a poker game that needed attending to.
Maybe after a while, like, Nick Wright just loses his luster. Like, the grill is gone. I don't think that.
Sheesh.
I will still be your friend, Nick. We are best friends. Although I don't know your wife, so.
You definitely like her more. Oh my goodness. What else you guys want to talk about? This is enough about me.
You mentioned poker. Producer Jared wanted us to bring up your poker history. Did you have any stories that you wanted to share in that regard?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, I guess the short version is, like, if you go on YouTube or on Poker Go, you can see me playing Phil Hellmuth heads up for $50,000. I lost. You can see me playing in a cash game with Phil Hellmuth and Daniel Negreanu for tens of thousands of dollars. I lost. You can also see me playing in a small tournament with Phil Hellmuth and Daniel Negreanu that I won. Recoup a lot of the losses there. Listen, I love playing poker, but I think the clinical term for it is a gambling problem. And so, So poker is a constructive outlet for that. And so it's like if you have an addictive personality, if there's like a period of your life where you're pushing that towards books, it's like a good thing. It's like, what'd you do? I read 13 books this month. It's like, okay, that sounds good, but that really means you're just a couple bad beats away from heroin. It just means like you're someone that can't do anything in moderation. It's the same reason why in my house, have you guys ever heard of nanoblocks?
Yeah.
You know what they are, Jasmine? So they're amazing. So nanoblocks are like tiny, tiny Legos that you can build something that's like 4 inches by 4 inches by 4 inches, but it's the Sistine Chapel or it's the Eiffel Tower or whatever it is. So I own and have built every nanoblock that has ever been created, including some that I paid hundreds of dollars for to have them shipped over from China because they were the only one, they were like limited edition ones because I got on a nanoblock kick. Just like once upon a time, the book thing wasn't a joke. I read every U.S. history book that had been written about from the time of Reconstruction to the Civil Rights Movement, that period of history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a encyclopedic about that. But then also there's different, you know, 9 months later, what are you doing? I'm playing 14 hours of online poker a day. you know, you just have your peaks and your valleys. This is the thing. So, yeah. So poker's one of my passions.
I see. So if you knew someone with a gambling addiction, per se, what advice would you give them to kind of curb that? Just asking for a friend.
Are we talking about Miss Jasmine?
Why would you think that?
Why would we think that, Jasmine?
Yeah. So here's what I would recommend. Okay. So this is what people don't understand about why gambling is, people are like, oh, why would you do it? So let's just say for a moment that you have a drug problem. Okay. And you're like, and you're sober in a moment and you know you have a drug problem and you're like, man, thinking about doing some drugs. You know that at the end of it, you're going to be sad and have less money. So there's a little bit of a buffer. Sometimes not enough of a buffer. The problem with the gambling is you have a gambling problem and you're like, not gambling. And you're like, all right, I'm not going to gamble. And then you think about gambling. You're like, well, I might end this sad and with less money, but I might end this happy with a lot more money. A line of coke and all of a sudden they have $1,000 on the table. That's not how it works. So what my recommendation, however, would be is, and I'm going to say this kindly because all of us are kind of, living in the gambling ecosystem now. There's a lot of gambling money in dark field. And I like that. I would say as a gambler, there might be a reason that a lot of our friends are heavily promoting. And by, they seem to really want you to do these same game parlays and first basket bets these things. So if those are the items they are pushing in front of you, then maybe those aren't the sharpest wagers.
Hold on.
I'm not certain.
Hold on. Okay.
I want to hear this.
Some would say that I have a problem, a gambling problem. These are Nikias's words, because I do first basket and same game parlays. But let me tell you. I
didn't know that. Yeah.
The one time that I didn't do it, I'm like, oh, Ja. And this was like a couple games ago. I'm like, Ja is going to hit a three to start the game. And I didn't bet. Nick, I did not bet. He hit a three to start the game. And I was like, oh my God, the Lord is sending me messages. So the next game, I'm like, Booker, three, started, lost. Same game parlays, I kept losing. Even Jerry gave me like a parlay between three games. The first two hit, the last one lost. I didn't talk to him for 2 weeks.
Okay, so listen, Jasmine. All right, Jasmine. Meet my eyes here, okay? We got to have a moment here. I'm 37 years old.
We're not that far apart in age, by the way.
I'm older than you. I have to be older than you.
But a couple years.
Okay, all right. My gambling history goes back 25 years. Okay. My dad was, before he straightened his life up, a semi-professional gambler. Okay. Before I was born. When I was 12 years old, my dad thought he was going to, I've told the story before, but I think you guys will like it, thought he was going to teach me a lesson about gambling. And we went to play pool and I crushed him in 9-ball. And we were playing $2 on the five, $5 on the nine. 12 years old. And I up like $38, which is a lot of money. And my dad's like, oh, you got to let me a chance to get even. He's like, let's go 10 on the five, 25 on the nine. I'm like, no problem. You suck at this. And he rolled me and I owed him $112. And I was 12 years old and he made me pay it back over the course of a year. He made me pay him $10 a month, every month. I had to find a way to get it. And you might say 10 times 12, that's 120, because he charged me interest. Okay. He thought the lesson was going to be, ooh, gambling's dangerous. The lesson I took is, ooh, if you know what you're doing, you make a lot of money gambling. So I've been doing this for a quarter century, right? If you are going to bet sports, bet a point spread and leave it at that. Leave the glittery parlays and the sink first baskets and all of that, leave it alone. You got to leave it alone. And there is an element of, I once had a barber who in Syracuse who would take all his money every day, mm-hmm. put it all his numbers, the pick three, you know what I mean? Daily pick three at the corner store. And whether he made or lost money, whether he had money or didn't have money on the day was going to be purely based on the numbers. And then people tried to convince him to stop, finally stopped. And you know what he said? Oh my God. My number came in today. Yes, of course, sometimes a bet you don't place would have won. But in the long term, if you are betting first baskets, Jasmine, what are you doing betting first baskets? You can find someone on the street to coin flip you for $20.
Nick, I done lost so much that I'm so close to winning.
That's not how it works, no, I'm going to be honest.
No. The one time I do not bet, I won. I didn't win, but I won internally. So I thought the Lord was trying to send me signals.
Okay, so here's the deal. You know what? Since you guys are kind enough to bring me on this show, and because I've been blessed in life in many ways, I'm going to give you a free roll, Jasmine. Okay? Here's the deal. But you have to. Actually, I'm going to take your word on this. All right? Don't make another first basket bet the rest of these playoffs. But wait. Just listen to me here. I'm not telling you not to gamble. I'm a gambler. I'm sure we have gambling sponsors, and I love them. I'm talking about for you on the first basket bet. What I would like you to do is keep a ledger. Every playoff game that you would make a first basket bet, write down what the bet would have been, what the odds were, and then yes, no, if it hits. At the end of the playoffs, if you would have made money, I, Nick Wright, will Venmo you that amount. You're going to find out. You're going to be like, holy shit, I'd have lost a lot of money. But if you're wrong, it's free roll. You got to get off the first basket pipe, okay? That one's no good. I'm just telling you, first basket bets are bananas. You saw that. You saw that in a your takeaway from what Uncut Gems. Was that, oh, yeah, my guy's first bet. That guy seems to be healthy and happy. He's making first basket bets and winning. Wasn't he making winning the tip-off bets? Yes. Which is just a first cousin of first basket bets. But at least those are a 50-50 proposition. First basket bets, it's 1 in 10. And you want to talk about something else? Sorry.
I got off like first basket for a quick second, and then I went to like first basket like method because that's what the big dollars were. I'm done.
Why do you think the big dollars are there?
Because they'd be like, oh, bet five. And if you pick the winner of this game and like say John Morant goes for a layup, that's like $4,300 or something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I understand. I understand. Listen. If you want, all of this is, if this is in the form, you do what you want. You know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is the path. I offered you a goddamn free roll.
I'm gonna use it.
Keep a ledger, and if you end up would have won, you'll win. I'll pay it for you. But you're not going to. You're gonna look at it and you'll be like, oh my God, I'd have lost a lot of money. I could have bought another beautiful picture of Tim Duncan and Kobe drinking wine. By the way, who painted that? Was that Ryan Simpson or Jack Perkins?
Jack Perkins.
So Jack Perkins created the painting for my TV show this morning. Have you seen it? Go. Can one of you guys go to Twitter?
Is it the one with Jokic?
No, it's Club Superstar. Go to it. Oh. Just go to my Twitter, and it's one of the first things you'll see. And then zoom in on it. I commissioned this 2 weeks ago. And Jack made it, and it's one of the coolest things. So it's a one-in-one-out nightclub, and it's for NBA superstars. So we had to kick out Anthony Davis to let Jason Tatum in. And if you look at it, Devin Booker, Trey Young, Jimmy Butler, and Anthony Edwards are in line. They're not in yet. Tatum's getting in. Anthony Davis is out. Your guy, Nikias, Nikola Jokic, is in an MVP room all by himself, sad and lonely, but he has both his trophies. Jokic is in there. Chris Paul and Steph Curry are playing catch. KD's in there tweeting, probably to me, something mean.
Why would he be mad about this? Is this why he was tweeting you earlier?
Because Kyrie's not there. And so someone's tweeted him about me not having Kyrie in there. And then he said that, you know, the segment was trash and you wouldn't do my job, blah, blah, blah. Embiid's drinking Shirley Temples. If you go up the next floor, Ja's doing the gritty. Giannis is DJing. By the way, of course, all brought to you by Lobos Tequila. Build a bigger table. LeBron's sitting on the throne. And then Dame and Kawhi are in the injured player section, so nobody bumps into them. Nikias, should I have Devin Booker as a superstar? Should I kick someone out for Devin Booker?
I would say not yet. First, I'll ask, was 12 just the set number?
I said it. I think people are too – here's what I don't like about people in my field, our field, but particularly the televised takery field. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, this guy's top five. Okay, name the five. Then name them. And they have 13 names. I also don't like how flippantly superstar gets thrown around. I think there's a huge difference in the NBA between stars and superstars. Trae Young is a star. He is not a superstar. Correct. A superstar is a guy who theoretically could be the best player on a title list if you put the right pieces around him, right? And so I said we have to have a set number. So I said 12 because a basketball team, I know technically you have 15, but it's 12. You know, you have 12 guys that dress. So I said you have 12 superstars. And so we started talking about this on the show weeks or months ago. And then I had this, you know, painting made. And because it was about Tatum. And it was about, is Tatum a superstar? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, who are we kicking out? And the answer ended up being Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis got kicked out because Tatum proved himself, you know, in round one, he's a superstar. But then there was controversy that I should have Devin Booker in, but I'm not ready to kick Dame out. I think Dame's the last guy hanging on.
See,
right?
That was going to be my question to you. Like, was Dame number 12 for you?
Yeah, right now Dame would be 12.
Okay.
Dame would be 12, but I'm given, like, I think people are forgetting how kick-ass he was in the playoffs last year. I know they lost, but he was outstanding in the playoffs. And so, which by the way, people, cause I see wheels turning for people. The Dame's postseason last year was not that dissimilar from Jokic's this year. Awesome performance, just not good enough to overcome, you know, a bad team, but nobody's given, you know, Dame MVPs. That's the, you're trying to kick him out club superstar. It sounds like, yeah. I mean, God, can Dame live?
I also want to point out this is a great, portrait. Anthony Davis is circling the block. Okay. He's coming back into the club.
I hope so. Listen, man, clutch client, clutch family like me, like, but come on, like, you got to be better. I mean, do you know how the club, again, is sponsored by Lobos Tequila, Build a Bigger Table. Do you know, we don't want to not let Anthony Davis in the club. In fact, in looking at it outside, there's only one clutch client in the club. It's Bron. Yeah. Meanwhile, Trae Young, Anthony Edwards, and Anthony Davis are on the outside. And so that's no good, but that's what it is. Do you think, I'm curious, Nikias, do you think Devin Booker's better than Ja?
I would say yes.
I thought you might. I don't, but I'm not trying to like argue with you. But I feel like there are a lot of people that, I don't want this to sound condescending, because I feel like the smarter basketball people agree with you. I feel like the people that like in that are more operate on the level that you do, like Booker more than Ja. The people that are more like visceral the way I am, like Ja more. You know what I mean? Like I just and so I'm sure, I haven't looked at him, I'm sure Booker's advanced numbers put Ja to shame. I bet Ja doesn't have great advanced numbers in a lot of things. But yeah, I think the Booker's a hard one. But let me ask you one other question. Who do you think is the best player on the Suns?
I was a Chris Paul person last year, and I probably lean Devin now, especially in light of Chris getting hunted defensively at this point.
Well, that's interesting. Do either one of you guys watch tennis?
Somewhat.
Okay. Can I give you a Chris Paul tennis analogy?
Sure.
All right. So older tennis players sometimes basically like give up sets. So you got to win 3 out of 5 sets to win a match. And if they lose a break on the first game of a set down 2-0, they're like, okay, I'm not going to fight and claw to lose this set 6-4. I'm going to just punt this set so I can win the next one. Mm-hmm. I think that's where Chris Paul is right now, which is why we are seeing, but the sets are individual games, mm-hmm. which is why we're seeing in these playoffs, he has 30 points, 19 in the fourth, 30 points again, or 19 in the fourth again, and then a 4-point game. And then he's excellent again. And then he's excellent these first two games against the Mavs. Then he has the 7 turnovers. Then he gets in this. I don't think he has the ability to be excellent
every night
in, night out. And I think he's smart enough to know that if I go my hardest every night, then I'm going to have zero. I might have 0 4-point performances, but I'm going to have 0 30-point performances as well. So I think he, you know, he has games where he's just all out, and then games where he is load managing while playing, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're seeing the peaks and valleys. I think that's where the age has caught up with him the most. That might seem like nonsense, but I truly believe that, because he's had like 4 A-plus playoff games and 3, if you were to look at Chris Paul's 10 worst playoff games ever, 3 of them have come in the last 2 weeks. You know what I mean? But also 2 of his greatest playoff games ever have come in the last 2 weeks. So I think that's where he is. I think that's why we're seeing the volatility with him.
Okay, I can see that. I would just say, I feel like some of that load management with him comes, I think, defensively overall, because like he's not defending point guards anymore.
That's right. Do you think Apex Chris Paul defensively could handle Luka?
We talking like New Orleans era?
Yeah, his apex defensively, or do you think Luka's too big?
I think he would bother him, because I'm also thinking back to the Thunder series where he was bothering Kevin Durant in the post. A different Durant's, level of strength, but like,
yeah, Durant's not strong enough. Like Durant. There's a really interesting thing. I think you guys would like it if you go back and maybe you're familiar with it. Durant did an interview a few years ago when he was talking about LeBron. And somebody brought up LeBron's like workout routine, and Durant said, he's like, yeah, man, like I'm paraphrasing here. LeBron spends all this time on his body, and almost said it like, not dismissively, but just almost like, I don't get it. He's like, I'd rather be in the gym working on my game. Mm-hmm. And it's totally clear. Like you've seen it now manifest itself in that LeBron, like, never became some knockdown shooter. Like, he wasn't spending those hours on like, let me get this right over a summer. And Durant never got stronger, but you know what I mean? Like, Durant did work on his game and, you know, his bag, and God, everybody loves the Hezzy and the Jimbo, and they're even greater when you're getting swept by the Celtics. Meanwhile, Durant wasn't able to handle the physicality, and, you know, and LeBron is now getting 20 years in. And I know injuries have bit him a bit recently, but has been able to handle the physicality forever, and didn't, you only have so much time in a day, never exactly got the flowery, his jump shot obviously got better than it was, you know, in 2007 or even 2010, but he never got like the purest stroke. He's still mm-hmm. super streaky and still in his head at the free throw line. I think it's fascinating from two of the best players of the era, so to speak.
Okay, I can see that.
Anything else from Unikais? Because then I can just ask my last one.
Well, my question was going to be like, how do you see the rest of the playoffs going out? But he already teased Bucks, Mavs.
I think
the Bucks are the best team. I'm shocked the way they lost Game 4. But I think the Bucks with Middleton would not have faced a Game 6 in these entire playoffs. And without Middleton, I obviously they're in for a fight with Boston, but I think they'll win. And I think Suns Mavs is the Western Conference Finals. I don't think Golden State can deal with them. I think Golden State is where I do really care about the numbers is sustainability on things, right? So Jordan Poole, even with the bad game 4 for these playoffs, like 53, 44, 89 splits on like 25 a game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Jordan Poole is not apex Steph Curry, which is what those numbers are. So I think Jordan Poole has a regression coming over the rest of the postseason. And I don't think the Warriors offense can sustain without Poole being excellent, because Draymond, he just refuses to shoot at this point. And everybody loves Clay, but Clay is right now, maybe I'll get back to it. Clay is the artist formerly known as Clay Thompson. I mean, he's not the same guy. I think Clay maybe had the highest approval rating. I don't think there's any Clay Thompson haters, right? Does anyone, have you ever heard of someone be like, you know what? I fucking hate Clay Thompson. You know, that guy rubs. Nobody's ever said that in life. Everybody loves and everyone's rooting for him, but I just don't think he's the same guy. And so when they're playing Damian Lee and starting Jonathan Kuminga, I think it shows you that they know they're grasping a bit. So yeah, I think it's Dallas and Phoenix. I'd love to see Chris Paul get one. I don't think he will. I think that it's Giannis and it's Luka. I know it's your guys' show. But can I ask, before you ask your last question, can I ask one other question for you guys? When it's all said and done, players from this era, which are the best guys, LeBron, KD, Steph, Giannis, Kawhi, those five. I think we agree those are the five best from this era. Some people might say, is Giannis the same era? Let's call him the same era. Is there anyone I'm forgetting? It's the era after Kobe. So I'm not disrespecting Kobe.
I appreciate that.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's
we good.
No, Kobe's in the Dirk KG era. Yes. You know what I mean? That's that era. How do you think those guys finish all-time ranking-wise? I'm very confident on the one and the five. I'm very confident of those five. LeBron's going to be the best, and Kawhi's going to be fifth. But 2, 3, 4 of Steph, Giannis, and KD, how do you think when their careers are over, we look at them?
I'm going to go first. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, you good.
Steph. Stop. 2 is Steph. 3. Damn, 3 is Giannis. And 4 is KD.
Wow. I think you might be right, by the way. What do you think, Nikias?
I would have gone Giannis, KD, Steph.
I think Giannis is going to finish second. I think Giannis is going to pass both KD and Steph. The KD Steph thing is going to be a fascinating one.
Yeah.
And it's still, you know, it's that as my old television co-host Chris Carter would say, their cement is still wet. Like, that story's not written yet. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, if Steph wins the title this year, then it's not so much of a debate for the time being, right? Those things can change. But I think it's a fascinating one. I think Giannis is a few weeks from making it far closer than anyone cares to acknowledge. All right, sorry, I hijacked your guys' thing.
Enjoyed it.
What do you want to know, Jasmine?
My last question for you, we asked everybody, what is your favorite buzzer moment? It could be personal to you. It could be Laker-related. Or
yeah, sure.
LeBron.
Can it be one that should have happened but didn't?
This is interesting. Yes.
NBA Finals. The Lakers are down 1. LeBron has painted another masterpiece. And Markieff Morris throws the ball out of bounds instead of to an open LeBron James for a championship-clinching buzzer beater. That would have been my favorite buzzer moment. You know what also would have been my favorite buzzer moment? Game 1, 2018 NBA Finals. LeBron James has 49 points. He has played the greatest individual basketball game any human being has ever played. He is playing the greatest team ever put together. And through his own excellence, his team's in a position to win. Finds George Hill for a layup. George Hill makes the free throw, misses the second. JR gets the rebound. JR dribbles. LeBron is standing at the top of the key waiting for the ball. And JR just keeps dribbling. So those are the two. Like when Vince Carter's asked, what's your favorite dunk? And it's the one off the backboard at North Carolina that he didn't actually get, that he ended up missing. Those are the two best buzzer beaters. They just are buzzer beaters that only happened in my head. But, you know, that's all right. Such is life. Despite being screwed out of those, still five playoff buzzer beaters, the most of any player in the history of the game, more than Kobe and Michael combined, Jasmine, for whatever that's worth. I know you're very glad you had me on. This really was, you got the full Nick Wright experience here, didn't you? You got some profanity, you got some gambling stories, you got a few Lobos tequila, you know, mentions that'll pay me handsomely for. I argued about Jokic. We did a lot here. We really did a lot.
I should get free Lobos tequila, by the way.
Of course you should.
I don't want to pay for it because I haven't tried it yet, but I love tequila. So
you haven't tried it yet?
I haven't tried Lobos. Like,
why not? Do you not have the internet?
I tried Sincoros and I'm going like, oh, MJ, he's the GOAT. Maybe this is going to be the GOAT tequila. It is not.
Trash.
Facts.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
You see somebody who is great, you expect greatness.
What?
And you think Mike Jeannie Buss owns part of Sincoros too. So I'm like, okay, two greats together.
Yeah, two greats together. Oh my God. Yeah, all right. Well then I'll work on that for you, Jasmine. I'll see what we can do. I understand you're not, you know, extravagantly wealthy, but you seem to have enough money to be throwing it away on first basket parlays. Maybe chuck a few Andrew Jacksons down and order a bottle of tequila instead of trying to panhandle it.
The last tequila I bought was like Casa Dragones Blanco, which is very nice. It's more of a sipping tequila.
Okay, listen, I don't know if this has been clear or not, but you are talking to an equity stakeholder in a tequila company and you're just out here giving goddamn promos for everything else. What the hell are we doing here?
Send me some Lobos and I will tweet about it. And if it's really good,
this is order it online, available to the public. It's like people are like, oh my God, you got tickets to that? Yeah, I fucking bought them. What do you mean? Like, how'd you get tickets? I don't know. I went on the internet and I put in my credit card information and they magically appeared in my email inbox. It's not difficult. This isn't the sneakers app. There's not a select few who get to receive it. Anyone can get it.
God.
Good talking with you.
Now I have to go. Yeah. Now I have to go buy some actual Lobos. Okay. Nick, plug all the stuff before you go.
Okay. Watch my television show. I'm on it. Chris Broussard, the single most respected member of NBA media, despite the fact he has to work with me. And his great football takes as well. Kevin Wilds, who is maybe the funniest man on sports TV. That's the show's called First Things First. That's on FS1. That's from 7:30 in the morning till 9:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday, East Coast time. And are you on the West Coast, Jasmine? Are you in California?
I'm in Central, but I am making a move.
You're in Central. West. Where in Central?
I can't be giving out my location.
You can't give a state? You're so popular, people can't know what state you're in. They're gonna figure it out.
Yes.
Okay. All right. No problem. Sorry about that.
But I am trying to move to Cali. So
got it. All right. So that's the television show, and then I do a 3 day a week. Oh, this is what we should have gotten into. Damn it.
You had Lil Wayne on the podcast.
And YouTube show that we just had Lil Wayne on. Typically, the co-host is my son, who does a great job with it. Not so much a co-host. He kind of like, you know, ask me questions and then we go. Yeah. We just had Lil Wayne on. And every Sunday, we have special episodes where we do the 50 greatest players of the last 50 years in the NBA. It's something I put it together. This is the thing people really should check out. And we have the individual videos on YouTube. I put it together for a book that I was going to write. And then I realized that I'm not doing a book tour. And that unless you are somebody, not me, making money off a book is impossible. And writing it's a visual thing. I was like, this is gonna be a boring ass book. It's just a list of names and stats. Like, this is a terrible book. So I turned it into a podcast series instead. But the reason that we're doing the 50 greats of the last 50 years is it's Kareem to now. So when I started it, it was 2019. So that was Kareem's rookie year to right then. So it's really the 50 greatest players the last 52 years, but that doesn't have the same ring to it. And unlike the NBA's list, it's ordered. So number 50 is Bernard King. Number 49 is Carmelo Anthony. Sidney Moncrief, and Dwight Howard, who got snubbed from the all-time 75 list, are in it. And I really think it's good. And I think people that are NBA fans, people that are checking this out, will enjoy it. We do deep dives into each player, their biggest and best playoff moments. And so that's part of the podcast series. That comes out every Sunday. We're counting down to number one. People think they know who I'm going to have number one, but I might surprise them. Kareem, let me say this, Jasmine, for the Laker fans out there. Mm-hmm. You know what Laker fans should spend more time doing?
What?
Creating a push that the GOAT argument should be a three-person discussion. The erasure of the man who has the same number of titles as Michael, who has more MVPs than anyone, who has more points than anyone, who was the greatest college player ever and the greatest high school player ever, that he is not even considered. When you're like, who's the greatest basketball player ever? It's like, oh, I don't know. The guy who won league MVP and finals MVP in year two after going damn near undefeated in college and never lost in high school, maybe, who has the most points, the most MVPs, maybe it's him. Kareem should be part of the debate. So that's what Laker fans should spend, you know, more time doing rather than sending Genie Bus love letters. But yeah, so check out the podcast. Okay. All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for hopping on, man.
I'm just going to say it. There should be some kind of worldwide education on Bitcoin. Somebody was talking about how funny one of my tweets were last night. And I said, oh, I accept tips. Ha ha ha. And then somebody tipped me in Bitcoin. Then I get a notification today that Bitcoin is going down. And I just want to know, like, what am I supposed to do with these bits of coins? Because I don't know.
Was this all a ploy just to talk about how you get tips? Because I mean, good for you, but also, I'm just going to say it. Y'all got to send me better money. That's the line you're going with on Wednesday. That is amazing.
It was more so the education piece, but I can see how you got that too.
Yeah. We were all educated on you being tipped.
Usually when people tip me, they are tipping like actual money.
Time. Usually when people tip you.
You don't have people tipping you on Twitter?
No.
Oh, me neither. Well, like, oh, that was a funny tweet. Here's, you know, 100 bands, you know?
No, I don't know. Oh. I do now. I need to up the ante.
Do you have an option so that people can tip you on Twitter?
I mean, yeah, I have the option, but like people just said to be money for sheesh. I need to follow the four-letter network and start stealing your content.
Oh, that's facts. Brian wrote in, that's why she fired her agent. I didn't fire her, we just went like separate ways. But
oh, you got the corporate speak down. Wow. No, you are actually a superstar. We mutually agreed to part.
Our journey had ended. And also, I don't think that an agent should get any percentage of that. They just tipping me. That's just, you know, I'm just tweeting. That's me. You ain't do that for me.
Wow.
I need some sleep.
And also tips. all right. I'm just going to say it. Can we please, as much as I love the W, can we get the lady some private flights? I beg. One, the Washington Mystics absolutely blasted the Las Vegas Aces in the second half of their game yesterday. They were able to win by 13. Hurt my heart, have to watch that game in full later today. But Natasha Cloud did not play in this game because she is in health and safety protocols. And she made a tweet, like, shout out to the W for making this fly commercial. With, as you know, like, mask mandates are being eliminated around the country, particularly on the airlines. And so I guess the implication there is that she caught COVID while flying public and, you know, can't confirm or deny that. But it kind of goes back to a multi-year issue with the W where they don't have private flights for the teams. And it's just, this should be done. Yeah. This should be done. There's no reason for this. Like every season, there's a story where a team is basically flying into another city on the same day because of layovers and flight delays and you have teams sleeping at their, like, we shouldn't have that in 2022. We need to get this done ASAP. Yeah.
Let the ladies fly private. Actually, they don't even have to just be for the W. Like, it could be like, you remember them things at IHOP where it's like kids eat free? Like, ladies fly private, okay?
You were late.
You were late. Now you caught up. Make sure you follow us at You Late. You can follow me at Jasmine L. Watkins, and
I don't even have one today. You were on one. You can follow me on Twitter at TheKaiusNBA. With that, we'll catch y'all later in the week.
Bye, y'all.